شدت المدادي يا الله اسقنا بالمدان يا الله.
اوكي بسم الله بسم الله. Do you have the poem with you?
Yes.
You want to read it or I read it in English? We found the poem in English. It sounds much better than the sparklings and yes,
I'll
so, mashallah, thank you. That's your translation?
Yes. I do part-time translation.
And surely I recollected you, even when the lances were drinking my blood, and bright swords of Indian make were dripping with my blood. I wished to kiss the swords, for verily they shone as bright as the flash of the foretooth of your smiling mouth. That's it. So that is what he was thinking of during the war. Yeah. So anyway. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillahi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. So one of the most important things now is what can I do first to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and secondly to be loved by Allah jalla wa ala. And as we said, the most important thing is to be loved. But it is also important to experience love, because love for Allah Jalla wa Ala will drive you more than fear. Fear is usually doing something because you have to, while loving is doing something because you want to. Okay? So I repeat, fear is usually doing something, pushes you to doing something because you have to, and love pushes you to doing something because you want to. Now, if you love someone, nothing feels heavy. Nothing feels like a burden, and nothing feels like being too much. When you are afraid of someone, you are actually saying, if you weren't to punish me, or if you weren't to see me, I wouldn't have done what you would have asked me, what you have asked me. Right? That's fear. And an example would be people waking up at the beginning of prayer time, Fajr prayer time, and people waking up at the end of Fajr prayer time, or people just making up their Fajr after prayer time has ended. We say that someone who loves is ready before his beloved one calls him, while someone who fears is usually comes after being called more than once. So, loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will push you to being ready before he calls you. And this is why some of the Salihin said, for 30 years I haven't heard adhan, or I was already in the state of ablution, because I don't want to let my beloved one wait. You know, for 30 years, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, we wait until the end of the adhan, just, you know, a bit Tottenham, Liverpool, I don't know what, so I keep on watching a bit. Tottenham, I don't know, do they play first class? Yeah, they do. So Tottenham, Liverpool, High Wycombe. And so you're waiting. You say, I still have, how long left before Asr? Because I haven't prayed Dhuhr. Half an hour. Oh, good, half an hour. So what are people doing now? They are, because of the only thing which pushes them towards doing something is fear. The fear for being punished. Someone who loves is ready. Before Dhuhr is there, he's already asking, what is Dhuhr? Oh, yani it's before prayer time. Do you see? So that's also one of the explanations of love. So the first one was, yani love will push you to do something because you want to, while fear will push you to do something because you have to. Love will push you to be ready before being called, and fear will push you to what? To being ready after being waited for. Now, so this is why love is a stronger drive than fear. Another thing is what they say about love. They say love will get you back to the one you love, even if you have wronged your beloved one. Because your love is so strong that you wanna come back and be loved again. Okay? You see? Is that clear? What was the last thing I said? Okay. So when your loved one, when your loved one pushes you away, you always come back. But when the one you fear pushes you away, you're happy. Say, I got rid of him. Like you fear someone, you're always next to me. Say, I don't want to see you ever again. That's a relief. That's a relief. Like if people are in a marriage and you... Anyway, don't let us compare. So now when your beloved one pushes you away, you're going to beg to be allowed to come back again. Please let me come back. Please let me... Come on. One more chance. That is when you love someone. So you see that the feeling of love is actually far more stronger than the feeling of fear. Loving also is being true to your beloved one even in his or her absence. Fear will allow you to be untrustworthy to the one you fear whenever you know that he can't see you or wouldn't know. Some people, the only reason why they don't do something is because they're afraid to be caught. That's the only thing why they don't do it. So on the outside, it is obedience, but on the inside, it's rebellion.
This is what fear is about very often. I'm not going to do this because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to punish me, but I would like to. You know, on the outside, you stop. On the inside, you're a rebel. Love, no. Love is that you're even true with your heart, that you only love what your beloved one loves. And you don't want your beloved one to find something in your heart which he dislikes. So people who love Allah don't only observe their actions, they also observe their hearts. They want their hearts to be clean of everything which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't like. That's love. Fear is just an action. I'm not going to do it, but I want it. Love is I'm not going to do it and I don't desire it. That's love. Is that clear? So you see, I'm trying to picture a difference, the difference between loving and fearing. Okay? So now, what are we going to do to love Allah? We already said that the biggest goal is that we are loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But what are we going to do to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? That's the first thing. Well, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, like in the Jami' of Imam al-Suyuti, he said, مَنْ أَرَادَ أَنْ يُحِبَّ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ أَنْ يُحِبَّ اللَّهَ فَلْيَقْرَأْ فِي الْمُصْحَفِ أَوْ الْقُرْآنِ. Let the one who would like to love Allah read the Qur'an. Let the one who wants to love Allah read the Qur'an. Why? Well, more than one third of the Qur'an is about Allah. And this is why we say, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ is a third of the Qur'an. What did that mean? When the Prophet ﷺ said, يعني, Surah Al-Ikhlas, يعني تَعْدِلُوا ثُلُثَ الْقُرْآنِ. Surah Al-Ikhlas is equal to a third of the Qur'an. What does it mean? Well, a third of the Qur'an is about Allah's names, about Allah's attributes, about what Allah did, about what Allah will do. So that is قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ is only about Allah. So a third of the Qur'an is about Allah. So when you read the Qur'an regularly, very often, then that's good. When you read it on a regular basis, then you will start loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because it's all about Him. It's all about, and I did this, and I will do so, and I will give, and I will protect, or I will punish. So love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is found in the Qur'an. That's number one. The second thing is the dua that we just mentioned. Repeat that one, Asim. Allahumma inni Allahumma Yes. Did you memorize this one before?
Yes.
Entirely?
No, not the last part.
No, mashallah. Look. Mashallah. So the last part you memorize it right now. Okay. Khayyam. Oh, you're translating.
I can give prizes.
Okay, mashallah. Allahumma inni as'aluka hubbaka wa hubba man yuhibbuka wa hubba kulli amalin yuqarribuni ila hubbika. Allahumma ja'al hubbaka ahabba ilayya min al-ma' al-baridi 'ala al-dhama. So this is like we say with Ramadan, right? The dhama has left me. وَبْتَلَّتِ الْعُرُوقِ, right? So the dhama is like being really thirsty and having a dry throat and so much more. Okay. So anyway, so now the first thing was reading the Qur'an. The second thing is this dua. What we should know is when you say a dua, you don't say it just with your mouth, you say it with your heart. So when you say it with your heart, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will definitely accept this. Three, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and you find this in the Jami' of Imam Suyuti, and I think in the Sunan of Imam Tirmidhi, but I'm no longer 100% sure, but I think it is. Yani, love Allah for that which He keeps you providing with. Love Allah because of that which He keeps you providing, because He keeps on providing you. But what does this mean anyway? Yani, I always say, if we were to treat our friends the way we treat our religion or Allah, then we wouldn't have any friends anymore. You see? And we expect from people what we don't expect from ourselves towards Allah. We expect people to answer straight away, to never be too late, to always be on time, to don't make a mistake. You know, we expect them to be respectful, and if they're not, then we cut them off. We kick them out of our friendship zone. They're gone. But when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls us, we say, wait, Ya Rabbi, please, 5 minutes, I got something to do. You know, when somebody, when we text someone once, the second text, people are very polite. Hi, how are you, Sheikh? Second one, not even 5 minutes later, 2 interrogation marks. Bang, bang. Then 3, why are you not replying? Why this? Why? You know? And then I even had, Sheikh, I know you're there. Astaghfirullah, don't hide, you know? So if I would show you, you wouldn't believe me. I stopped being on WhatsApp because I had 300 people messaging and expecting me. Sometimes they forget that you have a life. It's like I'm connected and that all the time I need to be there, you know, because I... So anyway, but people have this. People, and this is why I wrote something about the usage of social media and how to use it in an Islamic way. There are times where you just don't contact people. If you send a message to someone at 10, would you go knock his door at 10 o'clock at night? Would you? Just like... Brother, yeah. You open the door. I just wanted to remind you of key. You know, there are times you interrupt. You're interrupting people from a certain time. Also, when sometimes people talk, they talk to you. They start the discussion. Say salamu alaikum. You say wa alaikum salam. They don't reply. Why are you giving me salam for then? Then 2 hours later, I wanted to tell you this and that. You say, okay, when would you like to do that? 3 hours later, tomorrow. This is so impolite. Also, people go away in the midst of a discussion without giving salam. So, okay, that's good, right? So you don't know what to expect. They're gone for 5 hours or 2 days. Then when they pick up their discussion of yesterday, they don't start with salam. They just continue never anything happened. They don't ask you, how are you? They don't say, what's up? they don't do anything. So this here, this social media system was invented by people who didn't have any friends. Facebook was actually beg for friends book. Yes? And so we had a social Islamic system in place where we would visit one another, where we would take care of one another, where we would see one another at the mosque, where everything was socially not superficial, it was real life, true life. But this was invented by people who don't have this system in place, and we actually changed the system we had for this now, which we were not in need of. Muslims weren't in need of this. Of this kind of system. But now this is what we are using. So when someone's sick, people don't visit anymore. You say, I'm sick, they send you a cupcake. An icon of an emoji. Like a cake and then a subhanallah. What do you call the thing you put in your mouth when you're sick and you want to measure your fever?
Thermometer.
What?
Thermometer.
What?
Thermometer.
One person?
Thermometer.
Okay. So that thing, you know, they send it to you and then be good. Where are the visits? Even that is going away. You know, and so it's so strange. Sometimes you don't see someone for weeks, but you have the impression that you're always with him. But that's a fake being together. So anyway, why am I saying this? I don't know. Allah, why did I say this?
It's because he said that if you treat a friend like you treat a religion, you wouldn't have any friends at all.
Yes, thank you. So this is what is happening. Like, we are expecting from people to treat us in a way that we don't treat our own religion. We demand more respect for ourselves than the respect we give to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is why Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah wrote something about this in his book, Tariq al-Hijratain. A very nice book to read, by the way. Okay, so loving is what? The first thing, create love, one, by reading the Qur'an. Two, by the dua. Three, by looking at what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keeps on giving us. And this is why one of the Salihin said, if you want to open the despair, the door of despair, then look at what you are keeping, what you are giving to Allah. And if you want to open the door of hope, then look at what Allah keeps on giving you. You know, when we look at ourselves, we despair. But when we look at Allah, we're filled with hope. And this is why we should always look at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Allah doesn't give us in harmony with what we do. No? He gives us in harmony with His generosity and mercy. And this is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, no one amongst you will enter paradise thanks as a result of his actions. They said, وَلَا أَنْتَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. He said, and not I. Not even myself. إِلَّا أَنْ يَتَغَمَّدِينَ يَا اللَّهُ بِرَحْمَةٍ مِّنْ. And unless, if it were for the mercy, it's just the mercy of Allah. So they say, entering paradise is Allah's love for you. And then your ranks in paradise is connected to your deeds. But entering into paradise is only mercy. And then, you know, the levels is in harmony with your deeds. But the entering paradise itself has nothing to do with you or me or anything. It's just divine mercy, divine love. No. So this is very important to know. And love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His creation is so big, even for the sinners. You know, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that Allah will tell three people to come out of hellfire. That will be the last ones. And he's come out of hellfire, and then he tells them, go back in. Go back to hellfire. And one amongst them remains, and he doesn't go back. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَهُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِهِ. And he knows better. He says, why are you not going back to hell? He said, Allah, you have too much rahmah to fill our hearts with hope and then to turn it into despair. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, enter my paradise. Because of what? Because of the positive thought this person has of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is the last person entering into paradise. Because when he arrives, he will sit at the door, he say, Ya Rabbi, paradise is full, there's no place for me. Allah will say, look again, and he sees that paradise is very big, and he will be given 10 times the universe. Or multiverse, whatever you want to call it. 10 times. That's the last person. And meaning the worst person amongst the Muslims ever. And the really... They think, khalas, he's forever in hell. That one comes out and gets 10 times the universe. This is how much Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. You know, when you look at the other hadith of that man that killed 99 people, فَسَأَلَ عَنْ أَعْلَمِ أَهْلِ الْأَرْضِ. And he asked to be directed to the biggest scholar of all. فَدُلْ عَلَى رَاهِبٍ. But they showed him a way to a worshipper, not to a scholar. And he asked him, يعني هل لي من توبة؟ يعني is the door to repentance open for me? He said, لا. And the راهب, the worshipper said, no. فقتله. يعني he killed him, so there were 100. So now he went to the most knowledgeable person on the face of the earth. And he said, is there توبة for me? He said, yes. What stops you from repenting? And then, and he said, but you need to leave this place and go to a better place to worship Allah. So when he was on his way, he died. So now the angel of punishment and the angel of mercy came down. And the angel of punishment said, he's mine. He never did anything good. The angel of mercy said, he's mine. And he went to do something good. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent a third one as a judge. And he said, measure the distance between the two places. The place where he was heading for, where he wanted to change his life, and the place he left, yani the place where he committed all these crimes. فَطَوَّ اللَّهُ الْأَرْضَ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the distance between the place he was heading for and his body shorter. Meaning that he was closer to the other side. So then the angels measured it and they found him to be closer to the place he was heading for. So the angel of mercy said, he's mine. And he took his life. And he took his soul. So you see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even though that was closer to the place of crime, nevertheless Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reduced the distance between the other side in his body for him to be taken to what? To paradise. So this is the amount of love that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has. Another man died and the angels came to take his soul. And he said, mention your good deeds. He said, I don't have any good deeds. I don't have any. He said, think. And subhanAllah, they're even reminding him. كَانَ رَجُلًا لَمْ يَعْمَلْ خَيْرًا قَطْ. The Prophet ﷺ says, he's a man who never did anything good apart from one thing, which we will mention now. And then he said, the only thing I can imagine is I was a trader. Sometimes people would borrow some money from me. And They would borrow money. They would borrow some money from me. And then when it was difficult for them, either I would say, you don't have to pay it back, or I would, you know, tell them, pay it whenever you can. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, if you were facilitating for mankind, then I shall facilitate for you. So enter my paradise through my rahmah. So the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for creation is far more bigger than his anger with creation. And this is why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَتَبَ كِتَابًا وَهُوَ عِنْدَهُ فَوْقَ الْعَرْشِ إِنَّ رَحْمَتِي سَبَقَتْ غَضَبِي. Yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wrote, yani has a book, and therein is written that he has decided, and this book is next to the arsh. This is how important it is. My mercy will conquer my anger. My mercy will conquer my anger. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this man is brought on the day of judgment. Look at the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He loves you to be in paradise. A man comes on the day of judgment, he has 99 pages which are as long, as far as the eye can see. 99 scrolls. Imagine yourself, 99 scrolls. When you open them, they reach the horizon, filled with sins. This man says, halaktu. Yani, I'm destroyed. Then Allah will say, la dhulma al-yawm. Then the angel will say, la dhulma al-yawm. Today there is no any kind of injustice. So they say, you have a amal salih. You have a good deed. You have some good deeds. So they come with one little tiny page. One little tiny piece of paper. And the man looks at the 99 scrolls of Sayyid until the horizon, and that one little piece of paper. So now he says, what will this do? And the angels say, لَا ذُلْمَ الْيَوْمِ. So they put the 99 scrolls on the one side of the scale, and that little tiny piece of paper on the other one, and the tiny little piece of paper weighs heavier than the 99 scrolls. And then this man is told, go to Jannah. And then he says, how? He says, لَقَدْ قُلْتَ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ مِنْ قَلْبِكَ يَوْمًا. One day, you said, لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ purely from your heart. And then it's for paradise. Do you see all of this? So we mustn't forget ever how strong Allah loves us. And when we keep this in mind, we can't but love Him. You know, because we don't despair ever. I mean, this other man, subhanAllah, the strength of love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when everybody's in paradise and everybody's in hell, there are two people left. Two people that used to love one another for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sake. Two people. But they all fall short. Every one amongst them has what? Has 49 hasanat. And 51 sayyat. So they need to go to hell. But then one of them says, look, I don't see any benefit in us going both to hell. if one of us can be saved. Look at this. That's their love for Allah. See? So if I give you one hasana, you have 50. And when you have 50, you go to paradise. And if you go both. So he gives him the hasana. And now because he has this extra hasana, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, enter my paradise. He says, no, Ya Rabbi. He says, why? He said, I can't go without my brother. I can't enter paradise without the other one who sacrificed himself for me. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, udkhul al-jannata, enter both of you my paradise out of your love for my sake. And then they are allowed and granted the entrance to paradise. And this is why Allah says about al-akhilla, people who are brothers, that they are adu, that they are enemies on the Day of Judgment, apart from the muttaqun, apart from those who had taqwa. They will still be brothers that day. So this is how we understand when we read that everybody will run away, one from the other. That's true, but there are exceptions. Those who loved one another for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sake. And what about that other man? That other man in the Sunan of Abi Dawood, who was a sinner. He was sinning day and night. He had a brother who was a worshipper. And every time he would see that sinner, he would say, stop. You remember? And then one day, he saw him committing a very grave sin, a very big sin. And he said, Wallahi lan yaghfir Allahu lak. Wallahi, Allah will not forgive you. Allah stood up for the sinner. The guy that was sinning all the time, but he was a believer, was sinning day and night. And the worshipper who was worshipping all the time, never committing a sin, he said one day, Wallahi, you know what? Allah will not even forgive you. Then Allah immediately took both of their lives. The same instance. Gone. In front of Allah Jalla wa'ala. He says, مَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يَتَأَلَّ عَلَيَّ أَنِّي لَا أَخْفِرُ لِفُلَانٍ. Who's the one that has the false courage to swear by me that I will not forgive that sinner? فَإِنِّي قَدْ غَفَرْتُ لَهُ وَأَحْبَطْتُ عَمَلَكَ. Because verily I have forgiven him and I've destroyed, annulled all your good actions. And then he says to the sinner, أُدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةِ بِرَحْمَتِي. Enter paradise thanks to my mercy. And then he says to the one that was worshipping Allah all time, he says, take him to hellfire. And then Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu says, this man destroyed all of his deeds because of one wrong word. He thought that this man was an exception to the rule, that Allah loves creation. You see that? So yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves His creation. And the last thing, and He's giving us so many different chances, so many different opportunities. Like if you commit one hasana, then it's immediately multiplied by at least 10 to a 700 to an unlimited times. At least 10. When you commit one sayyi'ah, you're not even receiving the entire sayyi'ah on your scale. No? Because the Prophet ﷺ said that he will be retributed for a part of the sayyah, not the whole sayyah. So you can never lose with Allah. He wants you to win. It's not like in a casino where they try to make you lose. It's like in the Garden of Divine Mercy where He wants you to win. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ, and only the one that wants to be perished will perish. Only the one that wants to be destroyed will be destroyed. Only if you are looking for destruction, you will be destroyed. Otherwise, it's almost impossible, to end up in hell. The Prophet ﷺ said, and if the believer would know what Allah has prepared as a punishment, he wouldn't be able to hope for paradise. And if a disbeliever would know what Allah has prepared as mercy, he wouldn't despair for paradise. You see now? So Allah loves. So why am I saying all of this? This is another means to increase your love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is by looking at Allah's love for us. At Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's love for us. Wallahi, we all know which kind of sins we might be committing and where we fall short. But nevertheless, here we are once again talking about Allah. Either talking or listening. I mean, do we deserve this? Wallahi, I don't. I don't even deserve to take His name into my mouth. But He invites us every time again. Allahu nuru samawati wal ard. And He wants to share His light to the entire world. He kept on sending prophets, more than 325,000 prophets, yani one after the other, one after the other, one after the other. Why? To invite us. You know what prophets are? Prophets are the ones that are inviting, they are the ambassadors, actually inviting you to walk on the red carpet into the doors of the divine castle. That is what prophets are. This is the way, please come. Allah is inviting you. There you go. Yes, thank you. SubhanAllah, this is what the prophets are doing. Allah sent all these ambassadors to the face of the earth, yani to invite us to the gardens of Eden. Now you say, no, you're exaggerating. No, Allah says, Wallahu yad'u ila dari salam. Allah says in the Quran, and Allah does da'wah. SubhanAllah. Allah does da'wah. Wallahu yad'u. Allah does da'wah. Invites. إِلَى دَارِ سَلَامٍ to the house without any shortcomings or flaws. This is what all the prophets were about. Just inviting you to go to paradise. SubhanAllah. Allah, this is so ajeeb. So the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for creation is so big that even when you enter paradise, He creates things for you which you have never seen, never heard, or never thought about. This is how much He loves you. Why is He doing this? Because of Him. He doesn't need anything. He's al-ghani. All of this is al-wadood. This is athar of mawadda, of this pure unconditional love. When we enter paradise, He will show how much He loves you. وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ يَدْخُلُونَ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنْ كُلِّ بَابٍ سَلَامٍ. Allah says, when you enter paradise, each one of you, when you enter paradise, the malaika, they come to you from every door of paradise. I mean, there are billions, trillions, zillions of people in paradise, and they all have at least thousands of doors. We are talking, do you know how many angels there are? Al-Awza'i radiallahu anhu said that reading the scriptures of Musa alayhi salam, he said that Musa asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how many angels are there? He said, three qirat of angels. And he said, what is this? He said, that's three times the amount of sand. How do you call this sand?
Grains.
Three times the amount of sand grains in the universe. Go to the beach, and when you take a handful of sand, you can't count it. That's maybe millions. It's really a lot. It's three times. This is how many angels there are. So the malaika, they enter, they give you salam when you enter into paradise. And each salam they give makes you even more happy. It's like when you see good people, when you hug them, you feel happy. The next one, Allahu Akbar, yes, oh yes. You're happy. So their hug makes you happy. It inspires you with energy and joy and contentment. But you have billions of them. Salaam alaikum, how are you? How are you? You're in the climax of your joy. وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ يَدْخُلُونَ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنْ كُلِّ بَابْ سَلَامٍ. And they will say salam. When all of this is finished and you enter paradise, now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't think this is enough. Allah doesn't think that this is enough. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks the people of paradise, what do you wish for? What do we wish for? He said, Ya Rabb, أَلَمْ تُدْخِلْنَا الْجَنَّةِ أَلَمْ تُبَيِّدْ وُجُوهَنَا أَلَمْ تُعْتِنَا مَا لَمْ تُعْتِ أَحَدًا مِنَ الْعَالَمِينَ. Haven't you made us enter into paradise? Didn't you give us everything we have wanted? Allah says, no. Sell. Ask. They will look and they won't find anything. Because everything, there is more than they can wish for. And everything they can imagine, everything which is there is better than they imagine. So they come all together. All the people of paradise come together, everybody, of all levels, millions of people, together with the prophets, Nuh alayhi salam, Ibrahim, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Isa, Musa, Idris. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, everybody means everybody. Imagine you there, the prophets sitting together, 325,000 prophets and messengers, everybody comes together. Say, what are we going to ask Allah? And they just don't know. Nobody can come up with anything. But Allah's love for our joy is so strong that He wants to give us better. So then, Allah will ask, what do you want now?
What do we wish for? He said, Ya Rabbi, أَلَمْ تُدْخِلْنَا الْجَنَّةِ أَلَمْ تُبَيِّدْ وُجُوهَنَا أَلَمْ تُعْتِنَا مَا لَمْ تُعْتِ أَحَدًا مِنَ الْعَالَمِينَ. Haven't you made us enter into paradise? Didn't you give us everything we have wanted? Allah says, no. Sell. Ask. They will look and they won't find anything. Because everything, there is more than they can wish for. And everything they can imagine, everything which is there is better than they imagine. So they come all together. All the people of paradise come together, everybody, of all levels. millions of people, together with the prophets Nuh alayhi salam, Ibrahim, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Isa, Musa, Idris. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said everybody, means everybody. Imagine you there, the Prophet sitting together, 325,000 prophets and messengers, everybody comes together. Say, what are we going to ask Allah? And they just don't know. Nobody can come up with anything. But Allah's love for our joy is so strong that He wants to give us better. So then, yani Allah will ask him, what do you want now? He says, Wallahi Rabbi, we don't know. And then Allah says, I have better. لِلَّذِينَ أَحْسَنُوا الْحُسْنَ وَزِيَادَ In the Qur'an, for those who do good, there is good, paradise and better. فَيُكْشَفُ الْحِجَابِ And then the veil will be removed and they will be allowed to look at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is how much Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves His creation. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will recite Surah Ar-Rahman. Allah will read Surah Ar-Rahman and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will read Iqtarabat al-Sa'atu Surah Al-Najm, sorry. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will read Surah Al-Najm. And as this is not sufficient, we go to the next, you know, spectacle. We're going to see the next thing. What's the next thing? Well, in Surah Az-Zumar. وَتَرَى الْمَلَائِكَةَ حَافِينَ مِنْ حَوْلِ الْعَرْشِ يُسَبِّحُونَ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّهِمْ وَقُضِيَ بَيْنَهُمْ بِالْحَقِّ وَقِيلَ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ In Surah Az-Zumar, the end. يعني وَتَرَى الْمَلَائِكَةَ You see all the angels. يعني جبريل included, إسرافيل, ملك الموت, يعني ملك الموت, all of them, all the angels. Said, حَافِينَ مِنْ حَوْلِ الْعَرْشِ Flying around the arsh. No, the arsh is very big. You know why? The Prophet ﷺ said the first universe in comparison to the second universe is like a ring in the middle of the desert. You see this? That's the first universe, the first heaven, yani of this world, in comparison to the next one, is like a ring in the desert. And he said the second one in comparison to the third one is like a ring in the desert, and the third to the fourth, and the fourth to the fifth, and the fifth to the sixth, and the sixth to the seventh, and above that is the arsh. And around this arsh, the angels will fly. وَالْمَلَائِكَةَ حَافِينَ مِنْ حَوْلِ الْعَرْشِ They go around. You will hear their wings. I mean, it's ajeeb, isn't it? And this is what everybody in paradise will be looking at. You know? And what are they doing? يُسَبِّحُونَ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّهِمْ They are doing tasbih and tahmeed. سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ وَبِحَمْدِهِ سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ الْعَظِيمِ You hear these voices of the angels, you hear their wings, you see them, and you see the very big arsh, and the angels will appear to be so small, while Jibreel alayhi salam would be able to destroy the world with the tip of his wing. When he took the people of Lut, at the time of Lut, and ja'ala aliyaha safilaha, yani, and he took them up and he smashed them on the ground, that was just with the tip of his wing.
He has 600 wings like that. The Prophet ﷺ said when he saw Jibreel, yani that his wings were just, you know, covering the horizon. He could no longer see the sky. This is how big one wing was. So wherever I looked, there was Jibreel. Jibreel will look so small when he's going around the arsh. So this is something Allah is giving us. So you say, wow, Allahu Akbar. And even now, while we are talking, there are angels going around the arsh. الذين يحملون العرش ومن حوله يسبحون بحمد ربهم ويؤمنون به ويستغفرون للذين آمنوا ربنا وسعت كل شيء رحمة وعلما فاغفر للذين آمنوا واتبعوا سبيلك وقهم and so forth. So the angels, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, they're going around the arsh, and while they are going around the arsh, they are asking Allah to forgive us. Now while we are talking, there are angels going around the arsh, even while we are sinning. They say, oh Allah, forgive them. Oh Allah, forgive them. Oh Allah, forgive them. You know, thousands, millions of angels going around. This is ajeeb. This is how much Allah loves us. You know, this is everything He does for us. And then we say, oh, prayer is so difficult. Oh, the days are so long. Oh, the sun is shining while I'm fasting. Oh, Fajr is at 4. Oh, subhanAllah. You know, people to get this, they would wake up at 2 every night. You know, people now, they wake up 5 in the morning. You know, and they work until 7 in the evening to live in a house made out of bricks. You know, on a leasehold. You know, and they have to, in 99 years, or now they want to change it into 125 years. And then they lose their house if they don't pay again 1/3 of the price. People, you know, work day and night just to live in bricks. And we find it difficult to prepare to live in a diamond. This is how much Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves us, you see? So when we talk about al-wadud subhanahu wa ta'ala, well, this is what we are referring to. We are referring to the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expresses His love for creation. And this is why Ibn Ata'illah made clear that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't think that this world was sufficient as a reward for the ones He loves, so He created for them a new world. An entire new world, just because He loves us. You see? So that's in very brief what I wanted to say about the name al-Wadud, the importance of loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, some ways to love Allah jalla wa ala. And the book that I'm writing, or that I've written already, but that I'm finishing now, is called Irshad al-Rahil, which will be, inshallah, something I will be teaching as well. There's a whole chapter of what to do to be loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I ask Allah jalla wa ala to make that which I have said beneficial. So if you have any questions about what I have mentioned, then, or said, then please do so. Okay, my question is, what do you take away with you? Yes, do so.
You talk about the sweetness of faith. You talked about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam loving the individual. Loving someone for the sake of Allah's sake alone. But I didn't understand the third one. Going back to disbelief. The one
that someone despises to go back to kufr after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala having saved him from kufr, as strongly as he would despise to be thrown into hellfire on the day of judgment. So meaning that this feeling should be very strong. Okay, what do you want to share? What do you take away with you? What were you inspired with? Bismillah.
Allah is the one that causes you to love Him.
Yes.
So His love is the last one.
Yes. Yeah, that loving Him is thanks to Him. And He loving you first, and then resulting in you loving Him. And not the other way around. Now, what else? Yes, please.
When you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, everything is directed to Him because you're in love with Him. So whatever action is, whatever thought it is, Allah is present in that. Even getting up the fajr, you don't want to miss it, so you are early, you're in wudu, because you want to be there standing in front of the beloved. So this something that is present in you and never goes away.
No. Mashallah, very, very nicely put. Mashallah, thank you so much. Very nicely put. Yes.
Love being a stronger emotion than fear.
Yes.
So acting out of obedience and love for Allah is better than doing the same as fear.
Yes. Thank you very much. Did you hear that? Or yes. Okay. Next one. Yes.
Mawadda, the love that is pure and unconditional between ourselves and Allah, and which is between our spouses.
Yes. Okay, very good. Next one.
I liked what you said, that there's both the fear and love. Those are two ways. Growing up, I think as Pakistani, we found a lot of our elders to get us to pray, to get us to read Quran. If you don't do this,
yes,
you're going to go to hell. If you don't do this, you're going to get punished. So that would end up being a means of walking on my foot out of hell. I'm going to go and do this. So I think it's important that we instill it in our children that we need to love Allah before we have that fear of Allah.
Yes. Yes. And before I get to you, is when we say fear Allah, then very often we understand it in the wrong way. There is no reason to fear Allah. We are in awe of Allah, but we fear His justice. Because if you do good, there is no reason to fear. but there is reason to be in awe. You see that? So when we say fear Allah, we mean we fear Allah to treat us with His justice. Because if we don't do anything wrong, well, He will not punish us. He will not destroy us. He will not take away our barakah. He will not take away anything. So this is also very important. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran, من خاف مقام ربه, the one that fears the status of his Lord. Yani, which is the awe, being in awe for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But as for fear of Allah, then we mean that you stay away from haram. Now, fear of Allah is an action more than it is what? A feeling. But the awe is a feeling, being awe for someone. Is that clear? Yes.
I think sometimes because you can't see the power of Allah, it's not something tangible that you can see how perhaps it brings Allah in your life. Spoke about the size of Allah's throne and how it's bigger than each level of heaven, how that in itself is a drop in the ocean in comparison to the level before it. And then the angels kind of circling around the ocean, and you kind of, there's a flapping of the wings.
SubhanAllah. Thank you. MashaAllah. You? No. My friend. Next to Mahir. Yes. What do you take away with you? Yes.
Love your brother for the sake of Allah.
Okay, what does that mean?
Well, we've had an entire lecture about this.
No, it's good. That you should love someone for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sake. Okay, that's a good one. You please, yes.
Just be here. Talk about how much Allah loves us. The one thing I took was the fact that he said, if you do something good, then he speaks to his eternally kind commander in chief in terms of his greatness.
No.
So how much must he love you for the sake of, if you understand the state of human degree?
SubhanAllah.
He's speaking to him and mentioning him.
Allahu Akbar.
We're not even.
Yes.
That's a real
piece of hope
that you take
from that. Yes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala
will mention
us.
There is no doubt.
He doesn't love us
and come back.
Very nice. Yes, please.
You mentioned how we should not hate any of Allah's creation, but the characteristics and actions.
Mm-hmm.
And then you also mentioned that the moment is the between the two extremes.
Yes.
So sometimes we can become judgmental and rebellious.
Yes.
In our love. So I thought that was important.
I can take that to next week if you like, inshallah.
Inshallah.